This is the Byron Bledsoe Podcast, Senior Pastor of C3 Church in Orlando, Florida. Thank you so much for checking out today's message. We hope this word encourages you and inspires you. Let's jump into the message.
God bless you. Please grab a seat. It is great to see you this morning. If you're a guest this morning, I want to personally welcome you. We're thrilled that you've chosen to hang out with us at C3 this morning. You've picked a great day to check out C3 because we are wrapping up a series, this is the fifth week, on generosity. And so you're going to get a glimpse at why we do what we do, why generosity is important to us. And I've got to tell you, for those of you that are part of C3, man, I'm excited. I've never been more excited about the future of our church than I am right now. If you are a guest, this is Commitment Sunday, but I don't want you to feel any obligation whatsoever. Those of us that are part of C3 are making a two-year generosity commitment. But if you're a guest, you can see the card, you can see what we're doing. I'm glad you're here to hear about what we're doing, but please do not feel any obligation. Ignite is more than a series. It's an invitation. It's a calling into something greater, something more that God has for us. So over the last 5 weeks, we have laid a foundation that everything that happens the next 2 years is going to be built on. And so while we're ending this series today, we're only beginning the season, the next season, the next chapter in the life of C3 as we ignite our church, we ignite our community, and we ignite our future. I've told you in this series that over the next 2 years, we're going to invest $2.8 million in enhancing our weekends and our current ministries. We're going to invest $300,000 in our community and serving others in a very strategic way. And we're going to invest $500,000 in our future, in whatever God has for us that is next. And one of the things that I've been praying, one of the things we're passionate about in the life of C3, is that we want all 460,000 people within driving distance of this campus who don't know Jesus, I want them to meet Jesus, and I want them to meet you, because you are a special people. I was warned when we began this series, as we were planning for it, praying through it, by a gentleman that helps churches all over the nation with generosity initiatives. He said, I need to let you know that when you go into this series, over the next few weeks, God is going to reveal the health of your church. There's just something that happens when you talk about money for this long. And some people say, man, I wish we'd do a marriage series. I wish we'd do a parenting series. Let me help you. Jesus talked about money more than any other single subject. That's Bible. Also, when we talk about money, we're talking about marriage. When we talk about money, we're talking about parenting, because it affects every area of life. And I have been blown away, more than any other series we've ever done, more than any other time in the life of C3, the overwhelmingly positive comments and people taking what I've asked, which is simply to go on a journey, to talk to God about what he would have you do, your part in Ignite, if you're a part of C3, to have an encounter with Jesus as it's related to generosity. I've never seen anything like the overwhelming positivity in the response and those of you that are diving in such a significant way. And so I want you to know, man, I am proud of you. Wednesday night, we had an advanced commitment night where we gathered some of our leaders. And I need to let you know, on Wednesday night, 53 families have already committed to Ignite. That happened Wednesday night, which is awesome. I think that's a great thing. But let me tell you one of the reasons you encourage me so much as a faith community, just who you are. I tell you all the time how special you are, how unique you are, what an honor it is for Angie and I to get to serve with you and be a part of this special faith movement. But Wednesday night, out of the 53 households that made commitments, 18 of the households committed to give to C3 that have not given before. That's almost a third. Almost right at 34% of the commitments came from people that have never given before. And some of you this morning, you're like those 18 households. You've never given before. But you're considering what God would have you do and what going all in looks like for you as you take this journey and say, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to be a part of it? And I want to encourage you. If you're a part of C3, I've told you from the beginning Our primary goal is 100% engagement. If you love Jesus, if you love C3, if you're a part of C3, there is absolutely no excuse and no reason not to talk to God, not to have had the journey and say, hey, God, what do you want me to do in being a part of Ignite? And I've encouraged you to go all in. I've encouraged you not to stand on the sidelines, but to step into what God has for you, because I am not concerned at all about the future of C3. We see what's happening. We see what God's doing. We are approaching 540 people that have given their lives to Jesus in this room in just over 2 years, which is incredible. The thing that I've been praying and what gets me excited is I've been praying, and the subtitle of this series is very important, that God would unleash His transformative power in each of our lives. And for that to happen, I encourage you to go all in. I was deeply personally encouraged in so many ways, at the spiritual growth of so many. Let me just share a few things that our financial office has told me. I don't know who this is. I don't know the names. I don't want to know. But I want to share with you what they shared with me. Wednesday night, one family that made a commitment is multiplying their giving approximately 3 times, going from about $7,000 over the past 2 years to $21,000 for the next 2 years. That is incredible. They took a journey. God said, do this, and they said yes. Another family is multiplying their giving by almost 3.5 times, going from $5,000 in the past 2 years to over $17,000 for the next 2 years. Another family is multiplying their giving by 6 times, going from approximately $2,600 the past 2 years to $16,000 for the next 2 years through Ignite. And this, listen to this. One family is multiplying their giving by over 8 times, going from about $500 the past 2 years to over $4,000 for the next 2 years. Now, we celebrate a lot of things in life, but celebrating people growing spiritually, people taking a journey and saying yes to what God asked them to do, I don't think there's anything better than to celebrate when someone says, yes, God, I'll do what you're asking me to do. I think that's incredible. It's spiritual growth. It's putting Jesus first. It's saying yes. And you've blown me away. I talk to pastors all over the country every week, and you are by far one of the healthiest churches that I know of. I hear horror stories from pastors about people that go negative, people that gossip, people that find out ways to criticize. Overwhelmingly, you are so on board with what God's doing, and I commend you for that. Today, for some of you, your Ignite commitment is going to represent a radical increase, like the ones I just mentioned. And there are a number of you. This happened Wednesday night. You may have come in with a number in mind, and through the service this morning, God is going to change that number. All I've ever asked you to do, all I will ever ask you to do, is to be open to what God is speaking in your heart about being a part of Ignite and being a part of what C3 is doing as it relates to this generosity journey. I'm praying that God would do something powerful, that God would do something new in your heart and in your life. For some of you, God's going to change your number this morning. And it's always huge when we say yes to whatever God asks us to do. A number of people shared some thoughts about the Ignite journey on Wednesday night. I'd love for you to hear a few of those. Check this out.
Ignite has changed us by bringing us closer together to talk about what our future looks like and how we can be a part of it within the church as well.
It's changed us and just bringing us together closer through our walk in faith as we grow stronger in C3. And we're so thankful to have this community grow with us.
Yeah, Ignite has definitely brought us closer as a family for ourselves, and then the C3 family really brought us in tune with what we want moving forward with this community and our church community. It's been great.
Ignite has changed us and our faith. And our generosity. A lot of things last year, we kind of sat down and we were like, you know, we could be giving more. So this year, we're doubling that. We added on top of that through savings. I was just telling people here, I don't know if this is too much information, but I was laid off in October of last year, and God bless me, I accepted a role yesterday. So. He's already shown me early on how my generosity, how me and my wife's generosity has come to fruition.
Big wins personally. After we came to the pre-Ignite, what would you call it, dinner. And we actually, that night when we went home, we made the commitment. We already wrote down what we were going to do. And just by taking that initial step, we have seen God's work in our personal lives since then.
You know, in the next upcoming years, I'm excited to see all the new faces that have come in, and me and my wife can be the veterans, if you will, at C3, and honestly just continuing to leave our imprint at this awesome church the way God has left an imprint through this church in our lives.
Just to see the church grow, to continue to touch more people. We're excited to bring more people, new people, to church with us.
I'm excited to see how our student ministry grows and see how many paths we're able to change, how many family trees, as well with kids being able to, you know, see how many more kids get involved in the church. Just to see where God takes us as a church.
I'm excited to see the growth, right? What can come from this, right? This, Pastor Byron always talks about it's saving that, can it save one more person, right? This has the power to really save and bring a lot of people closer together in their marriages, in their relationships, and with God.
Thank you so much. Every single person that shared a little bit from Wednesday night. I got to be honest, I'm addicted to life change. I love watching what God does. And when people say yes and invite Jesus into their lives, and then they begin to make those steps, those commitments that spur on and create a momentum of growth in their lives. I love how God is restoring marriages, changing the lives of teenagers, giving them purpose, helping the hopeless find hope. On and on it goes. And so I celebrate with every single person that you're on a faith journey. God has spoken to you. You're saying yes. Man, I commend you for that. I've told you our primary goal is 100% engagement. We also have a significant financial goal. Now, that goal is number two, but it's way down. Number one is the big deal, 100% engagement. The second goal is $3.6 million over the next 2 years. If we didn't change a thing, if we just kept going like we were going, we would bring in about $2.6 million over the next 2 years. But we're a generous church. You're a generous people. And because of that, we are accelerating that generosity through Ignite. And some of you can increase your commitment like those I mentioned earlier, doubling or tripling or eight times more than you've given in the past. Others of you, you give extravagantly already. You're already giving a huge percentage of your income, well over the tithe, and so your increase may be smaller. But the call is for each of us to take a radical step of faith in our generosity. And reaching that goal will require all of us to do that. We've been walking verse by verse through two powerful chapters found in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the longest section on generosity in all of the Bible. And this morning, as we wrap up the series, I want to ask and answer a very simple question. What happens when you give? What happens? Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. It's fascinating to me that 2,000 years ago, before you and I were born, God thought to put this in His Word so His Spirit could take His Word and use it in our lives and give us this principle of sowing and reaping. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly. Here it is again. The Word of God. It would have been powerful enough because this is God. It would have been big enough and strong enough and mind-blowing enough because this is God. And God is able to bless you. If He just said that, that's enough. But God, think about it, the perspective of God, when that's already huge, says, no, no, no. And God is able to bless you abundantly, in an overflowing and more significant way than you and I could ever imagine. So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound, you will excel, you will go above and beyond in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed, that's God, to the sower, that's us, and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed, and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way. I didn't write this. God did. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. there's a purpose to the blessings of God. Yes, we enjoy them, but it's bigger than that. It's broader than that. It's more significant than that. We are blessed to be a blessing. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service, what is the service? The generosity. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, it's interesting. People that say they love God, often they'll say they pray. Often they worship. Often they'll talk about how they want God to bless them. But it's interesting, several places in Scripture, what adds credibility to your words is how you navigate your financial life. Because if there's an area of your life where you don't put Jesus first, He's either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. He comes first if He's God. And so right here, notice the language in the Scriptures inspired by the Spirit of God delivered to the Apostle Paul because of the service by which you have proved yourselves. Your actions, your leaning into generosity, it gives credibility to the words that you say that you love God and love people. Others, the recipients of your generosity, because of your generosity, lives are being changed. Because of your generosity, the church is being built. Because of your generosity, the church can minister to the neighborhood and community around. Others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and everyone else. He's saying, because of you, it's happening because of what you've allowed God to do in your life. We've discovered in this series that generosity starts in the heart. It starts in our hearts before it moves to our hands. And notice the pattern in Scripture. It's not about the money. It's about our hearts. It's not about finances. It's about our faith. And when you talk about generosity and you talk about money in church, it reveals the spiritual character and spiritual maturity of those who are listening in how we talk about it and how we respond to it. It's only when we learn to surrender that we learn to sacrifice. Verse 14, and in their prayers, for their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace that God has given you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. And that's what I want you to experience so deeply. In 2024, more than ever in your life, I want you to experience God unleashing His transformative power in your life. And in this area, as it relates to finances, I recognize it is a difficult one. It's a tough one. But I need to tell you, if someone were to approach me and say, hey, I'm going to write you a check for the whole thing, $3.6 million, I would pass out, and then I would stand up, and I would say thank you. But we would still do Ignite. Because by far, this is about each of our individual faith journeys. As we connect with God, we have an encounter with Jesus as it relates to generosity. We ask God what He would have us do. And your only responsibility, if you're a part of C3, is to seek God in this and do what He asks you to do. It's incredible how God works. But not just here. Throughout the Bible, God addresses this topic of generosity and finances, a topic that is often uncomfortable for us, a topic that 5 weeks ago when we started, some people are like, oh, generosity for 5 weeks? Bye, Felicia. I'll see you in 6 weeks. Like, I get it. But listen, as followers of Jesus, let's be honest and function with a little bit of spiritual integrity. Even people that don't know Jesus would expect people that say God has saved them and changed them to put Jesus first even in their finances. Like, if God is really God, this is not a challenge. Even people who don't believe in Jesus, don't love Jesus, don't follow Jesus, believe that we should follow what the Word of God says if we say we know Jesus. So what does the Word of God say in multiple areas? Luke chapter 6, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Or Proverbs chapter 3, honor the Lord with your wealth. With the first fruits, first is a big deal to God. He expects to come first. With the first fruits of all your crops, then your barns will be filled overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. or Malachi 3, the kind of theme passage for tithing. Bring the whole tithe, biblical term, mathematical term that literally means 10%, the whole tithe into the storehouse, the local church of that day, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. Only time God says it in all of Scripture. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. And then there are those people that say, no, it's just an Old Testament thing. Well, Jesus in Matthew 23 says this, "Woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth, you tithe out of your spices, your mint, your dill, your cumin. You tithe out of your gain and what you have. But you've neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." Jesus endorses it. Deuteronomy chapter 16 says, "Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you." The Bible says that the ability to give is actually a blessing. That means there's a blessing attached to your giving. Did you notice verse 10? "Now he who supplies the seed to the sower and the bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." What's he saying? He's saying when we give to God, God gives back to us. It's the law of sowing and reaping. You find all through Scripture and you find in different phrases. You get out of it what you put into it. When you honor God, God honors you. As you trust God with more, God will trust you with more. If you're faithful in the little things, you'll be faithful in greater things. See, God sees, and when we give to God, he gives back to us. And something I've learned in my faith journey, something I've seen to be true that I wish I'd learned so much earlier in life, you cannot outgive God. Mark chapter 4, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you." The measure you use is measured back to you. It's the law of sowing and reaping. It's how the Holy Spirit of God, through Paul, closes this section in Scripture on generosity. He encourages the church to give generously to support future efforts of the church. So what happens when you give? It's very, very simple. Very simple. First, you reap if you sow. Now, I'm not a farmer, but I know a simple principle. I grew up with a grandmother that had a massive garden, and I would spend time with her in the spring and spend time with her in the summer and stay at her house for a couple weeks in the summer and would help her plant that garden. And there's one thing I knew even as a five-year-old. If you don't plant it, it doesn't grow. I learned that very quickly. It's very, very simple in life. If you don't sow, you won't reap. Verse 7, each of you, you're not excluded. If you're a follower of Christ and a part of the local church, each of you, there are no exceptions, each of you should give what you've decided in your hearts to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. I love this part because Ignite is not about what I can convince you to do. I don't want to convince you of anything. I want to encourage you to take a journey with God as it relates to your faith in the area of generosity. And I want you to do what the Holy Spirit compels you to do. This is not about what I want from you. It's about what I want for you. That you would encounter God in such a way, in such a unique way, that he would show you, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So if you don't give, don't expect to get. We only get the blessings and the benefits that come with the generosity we sow. You reap if you sow. Also, you reap what you sow. "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness." He's simply saying, you reproduce what you plant. Nobody has ever planted a banana tree thinking they're going to get corn. It's never happened. In fact, if you plant corn, you know you're getting corn. You don't wonder, oh, I wonder what's going to happen as this grows. What's it going to become? Corn produces corn. You always reap what you sow in every area of life. Jesus said it like this, don't judge unless you want to be judged. If you sow judgment, you'll reap judgment. Proverbs, it's been called the Book of Wisdom, says it like this, if you want a friend, be a friend. If you sow friendship, you'll reap friendship. It's true in every single area of our lives, and it's true in our relationship with God. It's true in our relationship with our spouse and marriage, if you're married. It's true in our friendships. It's true in our parenting. It's true in our careers, and it's true in our finances. You reap what you sow. It was God's idea long before anybody talked about karma. Paul here is applying sowing and reaping, the principle, to our finances. And he's saying when you give, God gives back. When we give, God increases our faith. Our love for God and our love for others will grow. We'll experience more peace, more joy, more fullness of the Holy Spirit, and we'll be blessed financially and in many other ways. It's not either or, it's both and. You reap what you sow. And if you sow in generosity, the principle is clear. You'll reap in generosity. You reap if you sow. You reap what you sow. And you reap after you sow. Have you ever looked at some area of life where you needed God to do something and you bargained with God? Have you ever bargained with God? Am I the only one? God, if you'll do this, I'll do this. I remember this kid, God, if you'll just help her to like me somehow, I'll be a missionary. I'll do whatever you want. Like, we bargain with God about things. That does not work. That's not called faith. Faith is when I trust God so much, I go first. Because actually, he went first when he sent Jesus and gave me Jesus. So if I can trust that, then I can go first in taking him at his word, and he will bless. Some people think, I'll give when I get. If I had more money, I'd be generous. Not true. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness, your actions, your rightful righteous actions. You go, then God goes. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. That's just how it works. You reap after you sow. God's blessed you. He's already supplied you with seed. Some of you have a lot of seed, some of you have just a little bit of seed. But he's waiting on you to sow the seed that he's given you. And you only reap after you sow. When you give, then God gives back. You reap if you sow. You reap what you sow. You reap after you sow. And you reap more than you sow. I don't care who you are. You cannot outgive God. You think you could outgive God? Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. The Word of God tells us he will supply and increase. He will enlarge. You know what that means? It means that when you give, when I give, we don't lose anything. We think, oh, if I give, then that amount is gone. No. Spiritual principle, when you give, you don't lose anything because God's got you. God will give back to you more than what you could ever give to him. But here's the truth. If you want to sow, if you have to sow if you want to reap. If you don't sow, you won't reap. If you don't sow, you won't reap. I want Alyssa to help me a second. Come here. How many of you like Skittles? Anybody like Skittles? Skittles. Dennis loves Skittles. It provides a lot of patience for him. Dennis loves Skittles. But I'm gonna give you one Skittle. This is for me to you. It's not yours. I gave it to you. And I want you to just hold on to that real tight. Now, if you're holding on to what I gave you real tight, I can want to give you more Skittles, but you can't take them. You can't. But if you'll learn the principle of being blessed to be a blessing, then there's room for you to take more. Unless you sing and a little sweaty because your energy, and then they stick to your hand. But as you do that, and so as long as you keep, every time I give them to you, you pass on. What happened? Like, as long as you keep doing that, God says, here, because I found somebody I can trust, and I'm going to bless them with even more. Thank you so much. I made a mess. Let me do this. I don't want people that clean to hate me. But, and if you love Skittles, we don't have to get the vacuum. That's yours after church. You can have it. But God gives more generously than we could ever imagine. And so he'll pour out his favor and his blessing on your life. You reap more than you sow. You have to decide for you, do you believe the Bible is the word of God or not? Because very, very clearly, God says, he wrote it down through his Spirit, taking his word, planting it in our hearts. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Words of God, He either tells the truth or he lies. You've got to decide what you believe. Now, I want to take a second and clarify something. Why does God bless us? Does God bless us so we can just be blessed? That's not the point at all. You need to understand something. When God raises your standard of living, he's calling you to raise your standard of giving, because it's about the heart. God is more concerned about why we give than what we give. And he wants a people who will trust him and put him first and not hold any area of our lives back from him. He will not bless in the areas that we hold on to and we maintain control over. It requires surrendering it to him and being willing to do whatever he asks us to do. And so if you only give to be blessed, you're just trying to play the spiritual lottery. The blessing is in the giving, not the getting. The Word of God is clear about what God will do. But don't let your motivation be to get something from God. Let your motivation be, Jesus died for me. God loves me. He invites me to call him Father. Man, I'm doing this as a thank you, not as a have to. I'm going to do what God says because I love him. Every time my kids, when they were little, did what they said, what I told them to do, there was not a single time my kids did something I asked them to do that I thought, you hate me. Not one time. Every time they did what I asked them to do, it reinforces, you love me. And look at what Paul says. You will be enriched in every way. Why? So you can buy a bigger house? So you can get a better car? So you can wear nicer clothes or make more money? So you can be more greedy? No, that's not the primary purpose. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. For some of you, and I say this with a heart of love and a smile on my face, I'm not upset with you, I'm not mad at you, but for some of you, you're limiting what God wants to do in your life because you're not putting him first financially. You're limiting what God wants to do in your life because you're looking for your excuses or your reasons or your rationalizations, or you're coming up with 50,000 questions when God says it's simple, childlike obedience and faith. You'll be more enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce a thanksgiving to God. The more generous we are as a church, the more this community will thank God. Because the more generous we are as a church, the more opportunity we have to make a difference in our community. You reap if you sow, you reap what you sow, you reap after you sow, you reap more than you sow, and finally, you reap where you sow. I can't go plant something in my grandmother's yard in Texas and expect it to grow in Orlando. Doesn't work like that. Because of the service, verse 13, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, so the service, he's speaking of generosity, he also calls it a grace, because of how you're doing this, it gives evidence to, it adds credibility to your faith. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. This is what adds credibility to you saying, I love God. People say anything, and people say everything. What gives it credibility, our relationship with God, our love for God, I am a Christ follower, then you follow the teachings of Scripture. God makes it clear. And that enhances and increases our credibility to a world that thinks the church is just a political club that is selfish. For your generosity in sharing with them and everyone else, and in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Paul is speaking about being generous and giving to the local church. There are a lot of great organizations in the world. Many of you are part of great organizations that make such a difference in the world. Angie and I believe in, we give to C3, we give over and above to C3, we're generous to C3, but we also give to other organizations because there are so many organizations that make an incredible difference. But let me be clear, according to the Word of God, there is nothing like the local church. Nothing comes close to the church. The church is the only organization that was created and endorsed and inspired by the Spirit of God, called the Bride of Jesus in the Scriptures, and is the primary hope of the world. It's the local church. And so at the beginning of this series, I said, give me 5 weeks. I didn't ask you for a financial commitment up front. I ask that you would simply commit to make a commitment if you're a part of C3. And this morning it's time to make our commitment. That's what happens when you give. But let me give you the two big overarching principles. Let me simplify it and boil it down to just two things. Two big things happen when you give. Others will be blessed and you will be blessed. Every single time when you put Jesus first financially, you give to the local church that's making a difference in changing lives. You can't argue with what God's doing in life of C3. I don't even try because it's so obvious to me it's God. I can't pull it off. You will be blessed and others. Others have been blessed. Almost 540 people have been blessed because of your generosity over the last couple years. How many more? I want you to grab the card that was on your seat when you came in, or you may have brought your card, you may have already filled it out. But if you'll grab that card, I want to talk through this just for a second, and then we're going to have a time of commitment. If you're a guest, again, please don't feel any obligation, but feel free to look along. You can see what we're talking about and what we're doing, because we love you, and we love every single person in driving distance of this church, and we want to see God change their lives. In this card, it says, my or our two-year commitment. The top line, what I or we normally give in 1 year, what you gave last year. And feel free to fill this out as we're talking if you haven't already filled it out. But you put that number down. The second line, my or our expanded annual generosity for Ignite. We took the journey. We asked God, or maybe this morning you're asking God, and you feel like there's a number he's given you and it scares you. It is, no matter how scary, never a risk to say yes to what God asks you to do. He delivers every single time. So that number you're going to put on that second line, or maybe you already had a number there and God said, no, it's different. You change it and you put that on the second line. The third line, you add those two numbers together. What you normally give, and then the additional that you're going to give over the per year, and then you multiply it by two, and that box on the right, that's your Ignite 2 years, here's what we're giving. And then the line below that, my or our gifts from stored resources. You heard of Adrian's testimony where he said, hey, we're giving some of our savings as additional. Some of you have sold some things. Maybe you've sold some stocks. Anything like that you would put on that next line on the right, the second box, and then the big box in the middle, that's the two on the right combined, that is your two-year commitment to Ignite. I want to encourage you, be sure and fill out the bottom for a couple of reasons. One, we don't count anything that comes in as anonymous. I don't read emails from anonymous. He's pretty popular. We don't count anything that comes from anonymous. If you can't put your name on it, it doesn't count. This is between you and God, but hear me. I want to be able to pray for you personally. I'm not going to get a list of the amount you committed. I'm just going to get a list of the names that committed. I want to be able to pray for you personally as you take the journey of what God's going to do the next 2 years. So please fill it out completely. Also, I've had a couple of people ask me. They said, hey, in that my or our gifts from stored resources, I'm not sure. I'm still thinking through that. Here's what I would ask you to do. If you write down unknown or not sure, that doesn't help us. If you go to the c3church.cc/ignite website, you'll see all about Ignite. There's a button there. You can click on the overview of the 2024 budget that our board has approved. When you look at that, that is a plan of investment in changing lives based on what we believe God's going to do. We need to be able to plan. And I can't plan with a percentage number. We can't plan with an unknown. And so whatever number you feel like God has put on your heart, put that number down. This is a faith journey. This paper is a spiritual tool. It's not a contract. It's, hey, here's what I feel like God's doing. And between you and God, you have the freedom to change that, edit that, just like some people have done this morning and some people did Wednesday night. But put a number down so we know best how to plan. I want to pray for us. And then after I pray, I'm going to ask you when you're ready to come and to make your commitment. I want to invite you to stand with me. Everybody's standing. If you're still writing in your card, feel free to stay seated, finish writing what you're writing. But after I pray, we're going to start singing. And when you're ready, if you're a part of C3, I'm going to ask you to slip out of your seat and come to the front and just drop your card in one of these baskets. And know that I'm going to be praying for like crazy, and I can't wait to watch God unleash his transformative power in each of your lives and what God's going to do through the life of C3 over the next couple of years. Father, thank you for this moment. Thank you for the way you love us. Thank you for every single person in this room, God, and what you do in their lives. God, I thank you for our guests this morning. I pray you'd bless them and continue to work in their lives. And I pray for every person that's a part of C3 that nobody would miss out on what you want to do in our lives. Thank you for the way you love us. God, we make this commitment to you as an act of faith, hearing from you, trusting you, seeking you first. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for watching with us. And we also want to thank you for your faithful generosity. Because of the way you give, lives are changed every single week. You can go to our safe and secure website, giveC3.cc, or text C3 Orlando to 77977. We also want to let you know, if you are local in the Orlando area, we have 3 services now. You can come at 9:30 or 11 a.m. or 6 p.m. We'd love to see you there. Have a great week.